In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, hope everybody's having a good morning, and nice to have you back here for the Word for Life. Jack Gardner, Word for Life producer, along with lead pastor at Brookside, Pastor Ken Keldner. Nice to see you, Pastor Ken.
Good morning, Jack, and good morning to our listeners.
Trust
that you either had a good night's rest or you're going home from working the graveyard shift and looking to get some rest.
That is a tough shift, by
that
the way.
That is a very tough time.
Tough shift. Yeah, I've done it. And, you know, when you forget your own name at 3 a.m., you know, you're not, sometimes you're not supposed to be up that late. But, you know, I admire everybody that does that.
Oh, absolutely.
I know it's a tough shift.
Yeah.
Want to let you know about, you know, what's happening here at Brookside. Now, Mike Gendron just wrapped up yesterday, the 13th, and today being the 14th, obviously that's over. He was at Brookside. But we are going to have him on the program here next.
Right,
and so
Yeah,
for those of you that don't know, Mike Gendron, he navigates the subject of Catholicism and how to approach that subject with friends and family and sharing the gospel
message. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we will have him on the program here.
Yeah.
And you can look forward to that. We're going to take a break from the book of Joshua for that with him. We still are in the book of Joshua right now, though. And we are in chapter 9.
We're kind of finishing up chapter 9, but we're moving right into chapter 10.
Yeah, and before I get too ahead of myself, we do want to let you know about our Christmas musical that's coming up here, December 17th at 7 p.m. and December 18th at 6 p.m.
Yeah, Saturday night the 17th and Sunday night the 18th, and we'll love having you be part of that and appreciate all those within our church fellowship that get involved and help us with that.
Yeah. So Joshua 9, and I did mention that earlier. Sorry that I mentioned that too soon.
Yeah, no problem.
You know,
no
sometimes
problem.
I get a little ahead of myself.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Chapter 10 really is going to come on the heels of chapter 9, obviously, with what the context is. If I was giving a title to chapter 10, it would be The God of the Impossible. And as we've been studying through the book of Joshua, our theme has been the journey of faith, a crisis of belief. That word crisis, interesting word, comes from a Greek word that means decision or judgment. A crisis of belief is not a calamity in your life, but it's a turning point where you must make a decision. You must decide, do I truly believe God has brought this into my life and he's wanting to teach me something through it, or am I just not going to respond to God with whatever difficulty or problem I might be going through? And at that point, you're either going on your own way or you're going to trust God and his purpose for your life. And I can tell you, friends, this is not a one-time event. It is a way of life. And the reason for that is Proverbs tells us, Solomon says, don't boast yourself of tomorrow, for you don't know what a day is going to bring. I mean, we have no idea. We can have our day planned, and all of a sudden, here comes a crisis. And how are we going to handle it?
Mm.
And friends, can I tell you, the way we live our lives is a testimony of what we truly believe about God. And you don't want to miss. You do not want to miss God's best for your life. Don't settle for the good, but the best. And we're either going to trust God, or as we talked about in the last broadcast, we're going to lean to our own understanding, that passage there in Proverbs 3. And go our own way. And I can tell you, I have seen it. I've experienced it even. It's a difficult path to travel when you say, God, I don't need you now. I got it all figured out. So we're going to see, and as we have seen, Joshua has had some knockdown experiences along this journey in the Promised Land. And his latest one was being deceived by the Gibeonites in chapter 9. Realizing I've made peace with them, we've made a covenant with them, and yet the people got all upset, critical of their leaders and the decision that they've been duped by these Gibeonites, and here we are, what are we going to do now? And so a covenant is made, and these Gibeonites are going to be servants, working with the Levites there as they cut wood and haul water into the tabernacle, into the temple. But Joshua is going to get back up. The Bible says a just man falleth seven times and he riseth up again. He gets back up. That's out of Proverbs.
Isn't that funny, the term get up? Because even with the man at the pool, Jesus says, yeah, get up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, Gary Richmond tells about the birth of a giraffe in an article entitled A View from the Zoo. And Jack, he reported that the first thing to emerge in the birth of a giraffe are the baby giraffe's front hooves and then its head.
Hmm.
A few minutes later, the plucky newborn is hurled out, almost falls 10 feet and lands right on its back. Within seconds, he rolls to an upright position with his legs tucked under his body. And from this position, they say he considers the world for the first time and shakes off the last vestiges of the birthing fluid from his eyes and ears. The mother giraffe is going to lower her head long enough to take a quick look. Then she positions herself directly over her calf and she waits for a minute. And then she does the most unreasonable thing. She swings her long, skinny leg outward and kicks her baby so that it is sent sprawling head over heels. And when it doesn't get up, the violent process is repeated over and over again. And so the struggle to rise up is momentous. As the baby calf grows tired, the mother kicks it again to stimulate its efforts. And finally, the calf stands for the first time on its wobbly legs. And then the mother giraffe does the most remarkable thing. She kicks it off its feet again. You say, why? She wants it to remember how it got up. In the wild, baby giraffes must be able to get up as quickly as possible to stay with the herd when there's safety, because there's safety, obviously, in the herd. And the baby giraffe is able to run with adults right after birth for its safety against the lions, the hyenas, and the wild dogs. Incredible. You know, I'm sure we've all had hard times in our lives when it seems like we get knocked down and we get back up and boom, here comes another trial or another difficulty. Yep, another kick. And we couch it. You know, it's interesting, Jack, how we couch it, those phrases of when we're going through tough times. Like when it rains, it
pours.
Mm-hmm. If it can go wrong,
it will.
It will go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these knockdowns should actually remind us all to get back up and walk under the shadow of God's care and obedience to his word. That's usually a big issue for us as we're getting knocked down, is am I going to respond to God's word and be obedient to it? And the act of disobedience and God's judgment has been a long, long lesson for the nation of Israel. The principle we can never sin and get away with it is still true for us today. You know, so as we've been going through the book of Joshua, Joshua could not have taken the Israelites across the Jordan River on dry ground, bring down the walled cities of Jericho, defeat the enemies, or make the sun stand still, which we're going to see in this chapter, on his own. Only God could accomplish all of these things. Joshua's faith is going to have to be totally rooted there in God. And we've seen this faith wane at times, like the humiliating defeat at Ai. God says basically to him, get up. He then dealt with Achan's sin. He leads the people to victory over Ai. Then his legs get kicked out from underneath him again when he doesn't seek the Lord, which we looked at in our last broadcast, with the Gibeonites or the Hivites. And he and the leaders are deceived, and the people are now complaining against him. I mean, these mistakes that you make like that often are very embarrassing, especially when mistakes are made when we run ahead of God. I mean, oh, man, how I knew I shouldn't have done that. I just ran ahead. I got impulsive and I made the decision. But the beauty of God is that he uses our blunders to accomplish his purpose. Somebody defines success as the art of making your mistakes when nobody's looking. But a better definition of that would be success is the art of seeing victory where other people only see defeat. I mean, Joshua chapter 10, God's going to use the covenant that he made with Gibeon to protect Gibeon and yet to accelerate the conquest of Canaan. So God's going to use this incident in chapter 10 all for his glory and for the good of Israel. And our theme would be really, could be taken from the angel's message to Mary when she had been told that she would give birth to Jesus Christ. That heavenly messenger said, nothing is impossible with God when you put your trust in him. So in Joshua chapter 10, over the next several broadcasts, and again, we're going to have Mike with us here, but we're going to be unpacking this reassuring truth about God and that nothing's impossible when we put our trust in him. And you see here his complete presence during times of difficulty. You're not alone when you're going through these times. The devil would like to think you are. He wants you to doubt God. But his power through times of impossibilities and his pleasure come as we're totally dependent upon him. And so in verses 1 through 9 of chapter 10, there is a plot against Gibeon. And I don't know that we need to necessarily review all of what happened with Gibeon and their plot against Joshua. But there's a dangerous trend that takes place right away in verse 1. Adonai Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, is bothered by Israel coming into the land. And he's also bothered by what the Gibeonites did. Jack, we have a few more minutes here. Why don't you read there in verse 2 what this Adonai Zedek, actually king of Jerusalem, wants to do.
First of all, thank you for pronouncing that for me.
Okay.
And secondly, here we go. That they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai and all its men were mighty. Therefore,
Adonai Zedek,
king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth.
You're doing a great job.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then,
these other kings.
Yeah, the king of Lachish.
Yeah.
And Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me and help me, and that we may attack Gibeon. For it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel.
That's the issue. So this king is recruiting some other kings, and you did a great job with those,
thank you, Jack.
Thank
you. And
I don't agree. And what he's wanting to do is, we're going to go up against Gibeon. We're going to take them down. And Gibeon's response was, get a message to Joshua now and remind him of this treaty because we are surrounded.
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua's going to do it. And I like what David Jeremiah said with this. He said, if integrity is keeping a commitment after the circumstances have changed, then Joshua demonstrates outstanding integrity. Because remember, he'd been deceived, and he never dreamed his commitment would be immediately tested in a major war. Many men would have probably reasoned, I didn't know what I was getting into when I signed on here. But Joshua doesn't go down that path. He says, hey, we made a treaty, and I hope you'll join us as we look in later dates here of what takes place, because they're going to even advance further into the promised land, but they're going to have to deal with these kings that want Gibeon, and Joshua and Israel will stay true to their commitment.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.